I had just time to see, across the open space, on the edge of the denser forest, a single large ash-tree, whose foliage showed bluish, amidst the truer green of the other trees around it. When she pushed me back with an expression of impatience and terror, and then almost shut out the light from the window by setting up a large old book in it. "In general," said she, recovering her composure, "there is no danger in the daytime, for then he is sound asleep. But there is something unusual going on in the woods. There must be some solemnity among the fairies tonight, for all the trees are restless, and although they cannot come awake, they see and hear in their sleep. But what danger is to be dreaded from him?" Instead of answering the question, she went again to the window and looked out, saying she feared the fairies would be interrupted by foul weather, for a storm was brewing in the west. "And the sooner it grows dark, the sooner the ash will be awake," added she. I asked her how she knew that there was any unusual excitement in the woods. She replied, "Besides the look of the trees, the dog there is unhappy, and the eyes and ears of the white rabbit are redder than usual, and he frisks about as if he expected some fun. If the cat were at home, she would have her back up, for the young fairies pull the sparks out of her tail with bramble thorns, and she knows when they are coming. So do I, in another way." At this instant, a gray cat rushed in like a demon and disappeared in a hole in the wall. "There, I told you," said the woman. "But what of the ash tree?" said I, returning once more to the subject. Here, however, the young woman whom I had met in the morning entered. A smile passed between the mother and daughter, and then the latter began to help her mother in little household duties. "I should like to stay here till the evening," I said, "and then go on my journey, if you will allow me." "You are welcome to do as you please, only it might be better to stay all night than risk the dangers of the wood then. Where are you going?" "Nay, that I do not know," I replied, "but I wish to see all that is to be seen, and therefore I should like to start just at sundown." "You are a bold youth, if you have any idea of what you are daring, but a rash one, if you know nothing about it. And excuse me, you do not seem very well informed about the country and its manners. However, no one comes here but for some reason, either known to himself or to those who have charge of him, so you shall do as you wish." Accordingly, I sat down, and feeling rather tired and disinclined for further talk, I asked leave to look at the old book which still screened the window. The woman brought it to me directly, but not before taking another look towards the forest, and then drawing a white blind over the window. I sat down opposite to it by the table on which I laid the great old volume and read. It contained many wondrous tales of fairyland and olden times, and the knights of King Arthur's table. I read on and on, till the shades of the afternoon began to deepen, for in the midst of the forest it gloomed earlier than in the open country. At length I came to this passage.